This is Calliope Writing Coach, the podcast about writing and publishing success from every angle. I'm Angie Fenimore, international best-selling author and writing coach.
And I'm Michael Sheen, author, platform designer, and marketing master. Episode 36, Self-Pub Like a Boss. Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Calliope Writing Coach podcast. As usual, you got Michael and Angie in the house.
In the house that's getting so old, sweetheart.
I got to come up with something new.
And that's why I can never come up with what I'm going to say is because you always say in the house. Well, we're here. In the house. Okay.
We are in the office.
Michael and Angie. Angie in the bathroom. In the Barca Lounger.
Well, okay, so today, our interview is with Rebecca Lemke. But before we get started with that, we have to tell you about this retreat that Angie created. Where's the retreat at, Ange?
Scotland? Yeah, it's in the Cairngorms. It's like beautiful countryside.
And is it just a regular old venue in Scotland?
No, it's a castle.
It's a castle. Oh, a castle.
Yeah.
Wow, a writer's retreat in a castle in Scotland.
Yeah, and it's not just a writer's retreat. You're getting our curriculum. We are going to draft a very solid manuscript while we're there. We're going to train you, teach you how to craft a masterful story, regardless of the genre that you're writing. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to do our thing with pitching to top literary agents while we're there.
Top literary agents.
And Big Five Skyping publishers. Yep.
So you will get an opportunity to pitch your work while you're there.
So you'll walk away with a solid draft and clear understanding of what makes a manuscript work, what makes a story work, and pages requests.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Talk about getting it done, huh?
Yeah, but you want to actually go to the website now because I just announced this on Facebook yesterday and already, I mean, it was crazy, you guys.
Yeah, we had kind of a frenzy.
We have two private rooms left.
Left.
That's it. And you can sleep. It's like a queen bed or a king bed. So you can bring somebody else with you, another writer or your wife or your husband or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can bring somebody with you or you can have that room all to yourself if you'd like. And then there's four singles up in the top of the castle in this huge loft.
Yep.
And it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And we're reserving that for either all women or all men. And what we know about you guys is most of you are women. So we're going to say women but if you want to get your writing buddies together, guys, and you want the top of the castle, get a hold of us really quickly, okay? So you want to go to the website. There's a contact request form.
The website is CalliopeWritingRetreats.com. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then contact us and let us know.
Yeah, it'll either be me or Michael because I'm logged into his email right now so that I don't miss any of these messages.
Yeah.
So I just might call you right back. Or Michael will for sure if I don't see it first.
Yeah. So let's do that and let's jump into our interview with Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
Rebecca has been published on The Federalist, To Love, Honor, and Vacuum, HuffPost, Homeschoolers Anonymous, The Relationship Blogger, Arc Writes, True Agape, Beautifully Connected.
It's True Agape, honey.
Oh.
Agape.
I said that last time.
I know you did. True Agape. And it's agape, actually.
Agape.
It's agape. I would go agape, kind of in between the two.
Agape. Agape. All right. The Relationship Blogger, Arc Writes, True Agape, Beautifully Connected, and more. She has made many guest appearances on live radio and podcasts to discuss spiritual abuse and legalism. Rebecca does public speaking on these same topics in addition to other mental health topics. She is also a contributor to Iron Ladies and holds a 2015 Best Performance of the Year Award in the national competition held at The Public Blogger. Her published work includes a book on purity culture.
We gotta say the title there.
Where, what?
That's where the title should go, Scarlet Virgins. Her published work includes The Scarlet Virgin. Whatever it is,
right? We're changing your bio on the fly.
Yeah. Let me just look and see what it is.
Yeah,
it's Scarlet Virgin. Or
it's the Scarlet Virgins.
The okay. Scarlet Virgins. That's where that should go.
Her public works include the Scarlet...
Her published work includes the Scarlet Virgins.
Man, oh, so sorry. Okay.
A book on purity culture. And a fiction book. And her fiction work. Say, and her fiction work.
Okay.
You want me to just dive in and do this part? Change it up and let me do it once.
For
just
sure.
Just once.
You
want to
just read it? You'd read it.
Yeah.
All right. You just start from the top. There.
Can I say why? Because they're expecting you to.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, we'll even include the beep beeps.
Okay, great. All right. I'm taking over.
Okay, do it.
Rebecca Lemke has been published in The Federalist. No, I can't do it. We'll get there. We'll do it. We can do this. We can do this. Okay. It's not as easy as it looks. It looks so easy sitting over here with my mouth shut. I kind of like
this.
I kind of like being the comedy relief in this little duo. And you know, which is so funny because Michael's the funny one. I'm the anal bossy one.
All right, I'm doing it.
Okay, good.
Her published work includes a book on purity culture, The Scarlet Virgins, and a fiction book, The Shadow Queen. She has a podcast called The Scarlet Virgins Podcast associated with her nonfiction book that can be found at scarletvirgins.com or rebeccalemke.com. Rebecca also has a YouTube channel where you can get to know her better and ask her the questions you'd like answered on video. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you so much.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So we want to know what's been going on. You've had an amazing run.
And then I have a question that I know you're going to like not let me ask. So I'm going to ask it now and we can answer it in a minute. Okay. What's legalism?
Now
back to Michael's question.
No, let's start with that. Yeah, so what is legalism?
So legalism is basically where scripture is taken out of context and used without God's grace being involved at all. So for me, what that looked like was my community when I was growing up took verses like the heart is deceitful above all things and made it mean in our lives that we could not have crushes because crushes were considered an emotional STD that would follow us into any new relationships or into our marriage.
Right. Okay.
I guess there's some extreme of that, but I kind of think that most religions do that a little bit.
Yeah.
Not even religions. I think people do that.
Yes. Yeah.
You know? Okay. Thank you for letting me ask my question first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now back to what in the world have you been up to? Oh my gosh, girl.
Yeah, totally. So I just have to interject here that, Rebecca, you reached out to me on Twitter and, you know, you're young, you've self-published your books and, you know, I mean, typically that is not a combination that we would go after for an interview, but you impressed the heck out of me. And I just, you know, I just got to say that you've got it going on. And
you have no idea how many people reach out to us for interviews. And it's not like we're snobs or anything. It's just there's only so many hours in a day.
For
and,
sure.
You know, we're writing coaches and we write. And we've got a whole lot going on besides the podcast. And, you know, when you've got like John Lee Dumas.
Yeah.
Josh Brogan. Is that his name? Chris Brogan.
Chris Brogan.
Oh, gosh.
Josh Please, Rossi.
Yeah, thank you, Josh Rossi. I'm kind of combining them. Dan Clark, et cetera, right? Et cetera, et cetera. Chad Hymas. You know what I mean? It's like, but like you're kind of like the example for all up and comers. This is how to do it. You just like were really professional. And
well, one of the things that really impressed me was that you shared with me your message and your, you know, your desire for the world. So tell us a little bit about that. You know, this is all tied into why you write in the first place and why you do all this public speaking and interviewing. Share with us your message.
Well, my message at its core is that your identity and worth are not found in what you have or haven't done, whether it's sexually or something else, but for the Scarlet Virgins, it was, you know, sexually. And it is found in what Jesus has done for us. So it's this, you have inherent worth that is not tied to anything else. Your identity is not tied to anything else except for the fact that you have inherent worth. And nobody can take that from you, no matter what they do. And you can't take that from yourself either. And that's my core message.
Excellent. And I think what a message to have, especially in today's world, you know?
And it's really crazy, actually, because when I wrote the book, it's been 6 or 7 months now since we published it. And I've done the podcasting tour, I've done YouTube videos, I've done public speaking and all this stuff. And by far, in a way, the people that contact me and say, wow, your message really, really resonated with me, are not the target audience that we picked out. They are like 80-year-old ladies who are grandmothers. They are middle-aged men who have struggled with sex addiction and pornography and all this different stuff their whole lives. And it's just, you know, for me, I wrote it for my friends who are millennial homeschool graduates. And I rarely hear from anybody like that. It's always somebody different. So it's been really crazy to see how many people have glommed on to that message, even when it wasn't specifically what I talked about in the book.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that just actually is evidence that you told the story well, you know, you. Because people can get in, you know, from any walk of life can get into your skin. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the, just for those of you out there listening who are wondering how to do this effectively, broaden your audience. You know, that's a way to broaden your audience is by being really, really good at the character development, even when it's nonfiction and memoir in particular.
Yeah. So, Rebecca, where did you get your hustle from? Where did you... I mean, you've had some training or it was just born in? I mean, what? How did you develop this amazing drive?
So part of it is when I was younger, my grandmother and my mother and my father would tell you, you know, she's a very driven person. I would choose a goal and then tackle it and then be super depressed for several months until I picked another goal. So part of it's that. Part of it is my husband has always been the entrepreneur type. So I really didn't have to do anything when I started writing. It was, I write the book, and we didn't even know that it was going to be published. It was, I'm going to write this, we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But he said, you know, I want you to go on a podcasting tour. I will help you set up a podcast. Here is what, you know, John Lee Dumas does. Here's what this person does and all this stuff. And he basically pulled all of this information that he knew and specialized it for me so that I didn't have to do as much. And he encouraged me and kind of pushed me towards different things that would be good. And so that was definitely a huge part of it, just the inherent drive and his focus and helping me with all of that. But the main reason why the project got off the ground to begin with was because of what we went through, because we went through various physical abuse, spiritual abuse, emotional abuse. I don't know if you guys have seen the homeschooling story going around right now where the kids in California were chained to beds and not fed and were only allowed to take a shower once a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
That has been so difficult for me because I knew families like that growing up.
Mm. Wow.
And one of them, you know, I talk about in the book where I was 12, I think, and she was 13 and her older brother raped her and nothing ever happened. He went to jail for a couple years, juvenile jail. Mm-hmm. And the whole community blamed her. And that was a watershed moment for me. And, you know, something is really wrong with the culture we're growing up with. But then beyond that, because of everything that happened, because of all the abuse, I saw my friends and myself go down a road where I developed anorexia. I almost died from it. I got suicidal, had a really bad depression. My friends cut and did other things like that where it was self-harm issues and they also developed addictions, drug addictions, alcoholism. And I'm not talking about 17, 18. I'm talking about 12 to 14 years old. This kind of stuff was wow. happening. Mm-hmm. And so once I got to a point where I was stable and I was in a loving marriage that, you know, provided what I had never had, then it got to the point where I can't take watching my friends spiritually and physically die like this. And come hell or high water, I'm going to do something about it.
So I'm glad to hear you say that. It's always great to have a marketing genius in your back pocket, kind of like I do. Yeah. Marketing genius or not, you know, doing that work or not, and we talk extensively about you've got to be in the business mm-hmm. if you intend to be successfully published, right? Mm-hmm. But I love that you're talking about, you know, connected up to what matters to you, like mm-hmm. connected up to what you're committed to cause mm-hmm. with the book, because that's really, you know, when you do that, you'll figure out the way, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. So where is home for you?
Oklahoma. I was raised in Northwest Oklahoma, and we currently reside in Central Oklahoma. We came here on a scholarship to OU.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I mean, we obviously were in Utah, and, you know, I mean, Utah is known for its religious background, of course, but it is interesting to see that, you know, this extremism can exist anywhere and does exist everywhere.
Absolutely. So. Well, and it was really interesting. That's something I've been thinking about the last couple of days, because just a few days ago, I received an email, and it's in very broken English because English is not the man's first language, but he grew up in Malaysia and China. And he told me, yeah, Bill Gothard stuff, that was something that my family got into. And I'm going, what? In China? No way. And so that's been really interesting that even in these corners of the world that you wouldn't think these small homeschool cult type things are in, they spread everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is they're quiet.
Yeah.
You know, they keep hush. You know, my mom joined a cult run by a psychologist when I was 9 and they didn't feed one of the kids because he had a lisp. And this was like deep in the recesses of Bryce Canyon, no power. And
yeah.
Anyway, and you know, that was like Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you published the book, and then talk to us a little bit about the things that you have done. How did you find the podcast to come on? How did you pitch them? Give us a little bit of insider information on how you have reached the level of success that you've reached.
So it's been a really crazy ride for me. I think a month or two before we published the book, I wrote down all of these pipe dreams of, I want to contact Thomas Umstadt. I want to contact Joshua Harris. I want to contact Sheila Grigori. I want to contact all these people and just talk to them and get to know them and send them my book. And before I could contact Thomas Umstadt or Sheila Grigori, they contacted me.
Oh,
Sheila,
wow.
Sheila runs the biggest marriage Christian blog on the web. Mm. And she found me through my Twitter bio that has purity culture in it and said, hey, I see you've written a book. I want you to write an article for me on this subject. And so I sent her the book. She read it. She loved it. She shared it with her audience more than once. She shared my article. She continues to share other articles of mine that I've written on other websites that are not hers. So I had a major win basically right off the bat, probably 3 months in with that. Also, as soon as I started my podcast, Thomas Umstadt found it out of the blue. I have no idea. I still need to ask him how. But he found it and he tweeted me and he said, wow, this is excellent. I love what you're doing. This is what people need, because up until I came on the scene, you had purity culture graduates talking about purity culture from an atheist perspective or talking about it from a not really scriptural perspective, but quote unquote Christian. And so I basically pioneered my part of all of it by still being, you know, traditionally Christian and saying, you know, this is a house cleaning issue for us. This is not, you know, I want to leave religion or anything like that.
Right,
this is, we need to get our stuff together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I was very unique and he loved that. And so he invited me to come on live radio with him. He shared my book. He bought it and shared it immediately and recommended it. And then with Joshua, I had tweeted him while I was writing the book, thinking, you know, I'm never going to get this done, but I do want to resolve things with him. I do want to just share with him what's happened and kind of get that off my chest. Well, it ended up, Joshua and I became fast friends the guy who wrote I Kissed Dating Goodbye and I became friends. And we talk on Instagram occasionally. We're Facebook friends, personal Facebook friends. And I have been tried to be a very, very supportive person during the entire documentary because I knew how hard it was going to be on him. And despite everything that's happened, you know, I recognize that he was 21 when he wrote his book, a best-selling book. It was his first book. And that has to be hard growing up in that and growing up where, you know, everybody knows you by something you wrote when you were 21. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of empathy for him. And so that's been fantastic. And when he got my book, he told me, you know, I love how you dealt with my book. I think it was very gracious. And he ended up sharing it on an Instagram story. And he was like, I really, really hope this helps you get some exposure and things like that. So like right off the bat, I just fostered a relationship with Joshua just by being very raw with him and saying, you know, I really want to talk to you about what happened in my life based on what you said. And with Sheila and Thomas, I just did my thing and they came to me. And before that, you know, I was very, very interested in small podcasts. I wanted to share my story with podcasts who were smaller than the audience that I had so that I could direct my audience to them and help get them off the ground. And they were like, you know, why would you want to go to somebody who doesn't have anything to offer you? And I said, you do have something to offer. Like this is basically an exchange. You have a very, very small target audience right now that you're still building up. And I want to be able to talk to your diehard fans. And I also want to get you more diehard fans for my audience. So it wasn't this, you know, oh, I'm just going to give you something for free. It was an exchange, but it was.
Yeah, you're talking about influencer marketing 101.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just did all these small interviews and I continue to write. I wrote for other people. I got on the Federalist because I had my job at Iron Ladies and several of the ladies there were like, you know what? We've written for the Federalist before. Let us help you get in there. And so they put me in touch with Joy Pullman and Joy was like, this is exactly what we've been looking for. This is exactly the angle that we've wanted for so long. Absolutely. Let's do this. And so it was no problem to get on there. Like it was nerve wracking because I had heard, you know, a couple of their editors were super picky and it was hard to get on there, but I had so much support and so many people vouching for me. And that's the thing that's surprised me so much is I still go back and look at my sales and I'm still getting them without, like, I haven't been active all of January and I really haven't been super active since November, besides just kind of staying in my own lane. But word of mouth has just completely taken off. And it had from the very beginning. I'm seeing a kind of a snowball effect now where, you know, this guy who contacted me from Malaysia told me, yeah, I've talked to like 6 different people and sent them your podcast. And I'm just like, holy cow, you know, wow, thank you a lot. And so it's just been, you know, small podcasts and just kind of making goals and then pursuing them if they don't happen organically, but just trying to start a conversation and not take things and just be a high value person in my niche.
Yeah. So, Rebecca, I want to point out to our listeners just a couple of things that you pointed to and emphasized those. The first one is that you sat down and you made a dream list. And, you know, number one, you were doing the research in your genre, in that niche, and you found the people who were the influencers in that niche. And you said, you know, these are the people that I want to reach out to. And, you know, at the time, sitting there in your living room, I'm sure that felt a little silly.
Oh, it was total pipe dream. I was like, this is never happening.
Yeah, right? But had you never made that list, it wouldn't have been possible, right? So the thing that I want to point to there is if you don't ask, then the answer is no.
And then you cast a wide net.
Right.
Right.
So that's another thing that I wanted to point to, not to interrupt, Ange, but I am interrupting. And how many interviews have you asked for that have gone unanswered? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. It seems like probably 20 or 30%.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you keep going after the you know, playing the no game, you get the yeses.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And that was something that Thomas told me too, that really helped, was he was like, you're going to get a certain percentage of no's. And I've had like a way lower percentage, but he prepped me for that. So it wasn't a, oh, you know, my life is over because, you know, this person said no. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, it's not completely a numbers game, right? Mm-hmm. It's that you're offering something of value. And there's the key right there.
You know, the other thing that you said is you talked a little bit about your activity on Twitter. You know, Twitter is kind of one of those things that has blown me away at the ease of contacting people directly.
Yes.
Real, you know, real people. So, you know, we teach that the only reason to be on social media at all is to connect with real people. You know, it doesn't matter if your Instagram picture gets 10,000 likes, whatever, who cares? That one person that you've connected to across the world and made a difference in their life is incredible.
Yeah. Well, and on that note, Twitter is the reason I got my entire family and I flown out to California for free at the beginning of December to go to a public speaking engagement.
Wow.
It was one tweet that I sent to a podcast that was Lutheran just like me. And I said, hey, have you guys ever heard of purity culture? And from that tweet, conversations were had. I became friends with the both of them. And then in October, they said, hey, we want to fly you and your family out. We want to have your story heard by our group of people.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. They paid for the rental car. They paid for our hotel. It was a very nice hotel. They paid for the flights to and from. We were completely taken care of. There was no financial issues for me to just go and give a presentation in California. Yeah. I've never been outside of the surrounding states. I saw the beach for the first time this December. And it was all over a tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. If you got started on the connections that we have made through Twitter, we'd be here for 3 hours.
Right, but, no kidding.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so Twitter is where it's at for you authors out there. And if you're not on Twitter, you need to be, and you need to figure it out quick because it's incredible. So Rebecca, you know, I mean, you've had some amazing things happen since you've begun this journey. Aside from what you've already told us, are there any amazing stories that stand out to you?
Yeah. So I ended up, I've stayed in touch with one of my professors from college, from OU. And I check up on him occasionally, and he's on my email list. And he really, really, really wanted to come to my book signing in, I think it was October or November. And no, it was October. And he couldn't make it. And I had talked to him a little bit, and I said, you know, do you still need a break at the end of the semester? Do you still have people, you know, come in and talk and tell interesting stories related to sociology? Because that was my degree, and that's kind of the department he works in. And he will play videos and stuff at the end of the semester. And I said, you know, if you still do that, I would love to take some weight off of your shoulder, and I can come in and lecture one time. And we set up a time for around finals week this December. It was right before the plane ride. And it was the first time that I had done public speaking in years. And there were no problems. People were crying. People were laughing. The timing was perfect. Like, I hadn't done a lot of prep or anything. I just, you know, I was like, I'm going to do this. I know it's going to be okay. And I'm just going to do the best I can. And it worked out phenomenally. I had people, you know, asking so many questions at the end of it all. My professor was blown away. He was just like, I had no idea that you lived through this. Thank you so much for asking to come and share your story. And I got an invitation back for next semester. So that was an amazing, amazing thing for me, because it was like right out of the gate, first time I've done this in a long time. And, you know, I have these college kids. Every single one of them, their attention's on me. They're not looking at their phones. They're not looking at their computers. They're not looking at a book. If anything, they're taking notes of what I'm saying. But literally every single eye in the room was focused on me. Mm. And that was such a blessing for me to do the first public speaking engagement in a while. Then after that speaking engagement, we went to California, and it was basically the same thing. I did my thing. People were crying. People were laughing. And I'd never had that happen before. I've never really had public speaking experience, a lot of it, because I used to do 4-H and do that sort of thing. but it was, you know, I'm rusty. And so for me to have that feedback was so amazing. And I mean, that whole night I had people coming up to me and saying, you know, of all ages, middle-aged guys, older than that guys, older ladies and younger ladies just come up to me in tears going, you know, thank you so much. Like, your story is changing lives. And I had one woman come up to me and say, you know, you put into words what I've lived with in my marriage forever. Mm. And that was amazing to me to go somewhere that I didn't know anybody and tell my story in a room of people that most of them weren't homeschooled. Most of them did not grow up the way I did. And yet that one night changed their life. Mm. And so it was so amazing for me to have that experience. And then I set up a speaking engagement here in Norman, and my church came and supported me. The youth from church came, and my sister-in-law had never heard the story of how my husband saved my life by taking me through coming out of legalism and out of anorexia. And so she's sitting there in the crowd bawling, going, oh my gosh, my brother's a real life hero. And that was amazing as well for me, because I tell that story often, and I've never thought about it in terms of, you know, people that actually know him, how would they take that? Mm-hmm. And so that was amazing too. I've had so many wins with the public speaking, and even when I have asked to do speaking somewhere and they've had to say no, they say, but we want you to come next year. So get us some information so we can have you on for next year.
Yeah.
So it's not a no, it's a later sort of thing. So I've been very blessed with that. And, you know, I've had a lot of people interested in signed copies of the book, which is, you know, really cool for me. And also I've had my book placed on 2 physical brick and mortar bookstores now.
Well, yay team.
Yes.
That's a big deal these days.
Yes. Well, especially for self-publishing. Yeah. So that's been, you know, so amazing for me to be able to do that. And people are so excited about it. I have one bookstore in Enid that my books are at, which is where I grew up, and then one bookstore in Oklahoma City. And so I can tell my friends, you want to go buy a physical copy at a bookstore? Go to these places. And they're like, that's so cool. But yeah, it's been so crazy. And, you know, I still get emails all the time of people saying, you know, how it's changed their lives and through the podcast and things like that. And I never thought that any of this would have happened. I've had some more opportunities as well that, you know, it's just been mind-boggling that, you know, I self-published the book 7 months ago, and, you know, I've been invited on live radio several times. I've been invited on other podcasts. I've met people and been flown places because I put a book on Amazon.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So, Rebecca, you know, somewhere in our audience is somebody who has a story that is just as touching and incredible as yours is, and they are terrified to write that story. What would be your advice to them?
I think, honestly, my advice would be to write it in the dark at night. Because this was advice that somebody else gave me. I was so scared to write what I knew I needed to that it stopped me from writing any of it. And so she told me, you know, you need to write where you don't feel like anybody's watching, where you don't have the expectations of social media or your community or anything like that. You need to write where it's just you and you don't expect to publish it. And that was basically how I did mine, was I wrote it not expecting to publish it. And then I went back and edited it for publication.
That's really great. Yeah, that's very useful.
Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for reaching out to us and for what you've given your life to as well. This is absolutely incredible.
And being so courageous.
Thank you.
You know, like really, kudos, props. That's so great. You make a difference because you're courageous.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will watch you with
I know, we already
anticipation.
Yeah, we have been for a while now, right?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
We're excited to see what comes next for you. So
thank you.
Thank you again so much. And you can find Rebecca at rebeccalemke.com. We'll have a link to that in our show notes. And on Twitter and YouTube and Instagram, where else are you?
I'm on Facebook. I only post when I have something super important to post now. So that might be a plus for you. It might be a minus. I don't know. But I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram mostly these days. And I have an email list that I keep up every month.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thanks again for your time today. And take care.
Thank you. You too.
If you like the show, shoot us some stars. It's all about the stars, baby. And be sure to share the Calliope Writing Coach podcast with your writer friends. You can find more episodes at calliopepodcast.com. Thanks for listening.